Good morning, 12th Street.
Good morning.
You braved the cold this morning, so good on you. Second week of the year, and you're in church. That's good, right?
Amen.
All right, two down and 50 to go for 2017. Well, it's great to see you here this morning. As you came in and you got your bulletin, hopefully you got one of these, because you're going to need one of these. So if only one of you gets a bulletin, I know some of you, husbands and wives, or the kids don't ever get one of these, make sure during the meet and greet, you go grab one, because you're going to need one of these today, okay? So it's a little bookmark that's in your bulletin. It says, Just Live It, and so make sure that you pick one of those up. We have a lot of exciting things that are starting up or are coming to a conclusion, and so your help is needed. So today, after the service, is where we're going to finish cleaning up from Christmas with all the trees. And you see, we have a few trees up here and just, I think, only one tree left in the lobby. It won't take very long, but we could use your help. Now, if you adopted a tree, then you can just take care of the tree that you adopted and everything will be good. If you didn't adopt a tree, if you could just stay after for 20 minutes to a half hour, and I'm sure we can get it all done pretty quickly. Also, we need to take down the backdrop there and take down the beads. And so anybody that likes to climb on ladders, I hate climbing on ladders. So I'll hold the ladder for you, and I won't tip you too much. So, but if you could stay after and help, we would sure appreciate that. There is a new amendment that we're making to the Constitution. It's in regards to the assistant pastor position. And so if you would, if you are a member, we want to encourage you to go out to the Welcome Center and pick up. It's just a one-page front and back, and it says right on amendment for assistant pastor. And so if you could pick that up, we are. You're going to have more than 2 weeks to review it. You're going to have about a month to review it, and then we'll be looking at that and voting on that as a congregation. And once that's in place, we can begin to have discussions about bringing in an assistant pastor. So make sure that you pick up that new amendment at the Welcome Center. Our small groups start up next Sunday. And so out at the Welcome Center, there's a list of locations where the small groups will be, what times they will be meeting. And so I want to encourage you to sign up for a small group, be part of a small group. We don't have all the books here yet. The amount of books that we have are for our leaders. So you can pick one up, but we make sure that I want to make sure all of our leaders get them first. So if you can wait till next week to pick yours up, that'd be great. But small groups are starting up next Sunday, January 15th. And I'm looking forward to it. The series is through the book of Galatians. And the theme is, you're so vain, you probably don't think this book is about you. So it's gonna be a fun series. It's gonna be a challenging series, and so I hope that it's a 6 week small group study. New access codes for the church start on February 1st. So if you have an old alarm access code to the church on February 1st, it will not work, and you will have the alarm go off on you. So if you need an alarm code for the church and you haven't gotten a new one, please see Lynn Anderson, and she'll help make sure that you get your new code. For the rest of the announcements, we do start Upward this week, so be in prayer. We have 143 kids that are playing Upward this year, and if you would like to come on a Saturday and share your testimony, about every hour at 9 o'clock, we have a devotional. At 10 o'clock, we have a devotional. 11, 12, 1, 2, and 3 o'clock. We'll have devotion. So we have almost 8 hours a day. The gym will be full with between 80 and 100 people. And so if you would like to come and share a testimony, 5 minutes, no more, okay? And you say, well, good, I don't like to talk for a long time. Perfect. All right? You say, my testimony will be 2 minutes. Fine. All right? But we're looking for people that like to come and share their testimony. And even if you don't do it all day, if you say, well, I'll do it for 2 time slots, we could use that help. So I'd like to encourage you to pray about that, and it's a great opportunity for you to share what God's been doing in your life. All right, well, with it being the second week of the year, I hope that you had a good first week. Last Sunday, we took, and all the bricks up here, we laid down the weights and the sin that so easily weigh us down and keep us from running the race the way that God would like us to run it. And today, we're going to talk about some things about these bricks and about the weights and sins. God does some amazing things. So I hope that as we sing, I hope that as we have time of fellowshipping with each other, and as we look at the Word, that this morning that you would just let God speak to your heart, because He's got some great things in His Word to say this morning. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for all You do. You are a great, great God. And everything that we do in this life, it's because You give us opportunity. The good that we do, it's because we followed You. The bad that we do, it's because we've ignored You. And Lord, I just pray this morning that as we look at Your Word, that there is a great exchange that You want to take place in each one of our lives. And Lord, if anyone here has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that this morning they would hear what they need from You. I thank You, Lord Jesus, that You died for every single one of our sins, that You paid the price for us so that we don't have to pay the price for our sins. And Lord, if anyone here has never put their faith and trust in You, I pray that during this service they would do that. And we will glorify that You're such a great God who is able to save. And Lord, for any who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they're just not experiencing the victory, they're not experiencing the joy that You want them to, I pray this morning that You would help them to make it a great exchange in their life. So now, Lord, we just give this time to You. To You be all the praise and all the glory. You are the one and only, the great God, and we serve You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing as we open with Holy is the Lord. God Almighty, the
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death many times. I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. Yes, I'm in that place once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. Humbled by your mercy, and I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank you. Once again, I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at your saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. Yes, I'm full of praise once again. And once again, I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy, and I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank you. Once again, I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Once again, I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy, and I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank you. Once again, I pour out my life. Once again, I thank you. Once again, I pour out my life.
The ushers come forward, please.
Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be in your house today, Lord. Father, we thank you for all you've done for us and how you meet our needs on a weekly basis, Lord, and a daily basis. And Father, I just ask that you just be with us now as we give back a portion that you give back, you give them to us, that we can see it used for your ministry, Lord, and we can use this money to help further your ministry and to win others unto you, Lord. And we pray this now in your son's precious and holy name. Amen.
One by one, Jesse's sons stood before the prophet. Their father knew a king would soon be found. Each one passed, except the last. No one thought to call him. Surely he would never wear a crown. But when
shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment he can touch you and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. One by one, problems come, and dreams get shattered. Sometimes it's hard to understand, but things like chance and circumstance, they don't really matter. Our Father holds tomorrow in his hands. And when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment he can touch you. Everything will change when others see a shepherd boy. God may see a king. Well, he wasn't the oldest and he wasn't the strongest chosen on that day, yet the giant fell and nations trembled when they stood in his way. And when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment can touch you and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. God may see a king.
Thank you, Don. That song really fits what we're going to talk about this morning. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And let's take our Bibles and turn to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, and for all the parents of our teens, if your youth are planning on going to camp, there is a meeting right after the service, right here at the front with Nate Penning, and so all the youth that are planning on going to camp, parents, please attend that meeting. Isaiah chapter 61. By the time Clayton arrived to church, the football game had already started. "Why are you late to church?" his friend asked. "Well, I couldn't decide between going to church and going to the game, so I tossed the coin." And his friend said, "Wow, that's different." And Clayton said, "Well, last time I had to flip it 38 times. There's a Baptist man who had a bad habit of going to the races and betting on the races. He saw a priest blessing a long shot horse, and the horse won. And so before the next race, he watched again, and the priest blessed another horse. So he quickly went and bet $100 on the horse, and the horse won. All day long, he watched the priest go and bless a horse, and every single time, the horse won. It came to the last race of the day, and he took all of his money. He said, I'm going to bet everything I have. He took out a second on his mortgage on his house, and he took every bit. He cashed out all of his retirement. He was ready to bet everything he had on the last horse, and sure enough, the priest went up to a horse. This was the gnarliest looking horse you've ever seen. Had knobby knees, loose shoes, and you could see the cataracts in its eyes from the stands. And the priest went up and blessed the horse, sprinkled a little bit of water on its knees, and actually went, knelt down and kissed the horse's foot. And the man thought, I'm a shoo-in. I'm going to make a lot of money. They started the race. That horse took off, and about halfway around the track, fell over and died. The Baptist bettor found that priest, and he said, what in the world happened? All day long, every horse that you blessed won the race. And the priest said, well, that's the problem with you Baptist. You don't know the difference between a blessing and last rites. Isaiah 61 and verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. And ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. As Isaiah writes this, he's writing about a new chapter in Israel. He's writing about God changing the fortunes of Israel. See, Israel, in this point in time in history, they were God's chosen people, but they did not follow God. They did not obey God. In fact, the things that God had told them to do, they lived in rebellion toward those. And so, as Isaiah writes this in Isaiah 61, it's different than a lot of the message that he's given to them. Much of his message to Israel has been, God is judging you. God is judging you. And now all of a sudden, he talks about all these wonderful things happening, like your mourning turning into dancing, your ashes being exchanged for beauty. Instead of having sorrowness, God will give you the oil of joy. And so his tone completely changes. And the reason that his tone changed is because he was prophesying to Israel about the Messiah who would come over 400 years later. So then in Luke chapter 4, as Jesus is on the earth and he's in the temple, he's in the synagogue actually, which is in Nazareth, his hometown where he grew up. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus reads this from a scroll. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And what Jesus did is he read from Isaiah 61. And then Jesus handed the scroll back to the minister and sat down and he said, today the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. They got mad. They tried to throw Jesus off of a cliff. Talked about that last week, and Jesus just walked right by them. So then Jesus set out on a journey. He walked from Nazareth to a town called Capernaum. Capernaum is, depending on which road you're going to travel. Today, if you were going to travel that, you would jump on the highway. It would be a 28-mile trip. During Jesus' day, he probably didn't take the present-day highway. He probably went over some of the hills, more as the bird would fly, and it probably was about a 20-mile track. And he goes to this town called Capernaum. Now, Capernaum will become his home base of operations while Jesus was on the earth. And there was a person who lived there in Capernaum. His name is Simon. We better know him as Peter. But when you read the book of Luke, his name is Simon. And Jesus goes to Simon's house, sees that Simon's mother-in-law is sick. So by the way, if his mother-in-law is sick, that means he's married, right? All right, Simon wasn't the first pope that was, you know, celibate because he was married. He had a mother-in-law. Jesus heals his mother-in-law. So then, the next day, he's got a whole crowd of people around him, and they want to listen to what he's saying. They want him to speak to them. And so he sees some fishermen who have just brought their boats in, and one of them is Simon. And his partners have another boat, James and John. And Jesus gets into his boat. Peter had been out all night fishing, hadn't caught a thing. Jesus jumps into his boat and says, hey, push out a little bit from the shore so that I can have some space from the people. And Jesus spoke to the people from the water on the boat. And then he looked at Peter and he said, hey, throw your net on the other side. And Peter's a professional fisherman, or Simon. He's a professional fisherman. Jesus grew up in the house of a carpenter. The carpenter is going to tell the fisherman how to fish. Right? And if you're Simon, you do remember, wait a minute, Jesus just healed my mother-in-law. So Simon says, you know what? I've been out all night. The fish, they're not being caught. They're not responding. And Jesus says, just throw it out on the other side. And so Peter says, all right, because you told me to. That's the Thad Stout version. Peter takes his net and he throws it off into the water. And the fish just start filling that net. And he tries to pull it up. And as he does, his net starts to break. His boat starts to sink. And he calls to the shore and he says, hey, James, John, help me. And they bring their boat out. And their boat is about ready to sink. And they barely get all the fish back to shore. Jesus looks at Simon. And he says, you will no longer catch fish. You will be a fisher of men. Come and follow me. And all of a sudden, for the first time in the book of Luke, Simon Peter starts to follow Jesus. See, Simon was the name given to him at birth by his parents. Simon actually is from the Hebrew Simeon. All right, there's a tribe in Israel called Simeon. And so that's who Simon was named after. The name really didn't have a lot of significance other than it identified him as an Israelite. When Peter becomes his name, and Jesus gives him that name, and just a few chapters later in Luke, it'll talk about how Jesus quit calling him Simon and just starts calling him Peter. Now, the word Peter has great significance. Because the name Peter, it means a stone. And in reference to when Jesus gave him the new name, he was actually being called a chip off the block of the foundation of Christ. And so now his name Peter has significance. What happened with Simon was Simon was a fisherman. Simon had been kicked out of the rabbi school. He didn't make the grade. Because if you could stay a rabbi, you did. The pay was good, the work was easy, and people followed you around. It was a good gig. He didn't make it. He got kicked out. He became a fisherman. Being a fisherman was a good job. But Jesus changed his life. Jesus gave him a great exchange, something better. Because now, A couple thousand years later, when we talk about Peter, I just say Peter from the Bible, and everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about. Who's read the Bible? People that haven't read the Bible kind of know who Peter is, because Peter was one of the disciples. He was the chief apostle. And it's all because Jesus came to heal up the brokenhearted, to bind up those who were hurting, to set free the captive. And that's what Jesus did in Peter's life. He gave him an exchange and radically transformed him. Peter was a man who followed Jesus, but he had a lot of failures. In the book of Luke, you'll read through, and he's called Simon up until Jesus changes his name, then he's called Peter. Up until the very end. And at the very end of Jesus' life, Jesus dies on the cross. He's been buried. In Luke, it quits calling him Peter, and it starts calling him Simon. Why? Well, the change that Jesus had brought to his life, Simon kind of, he went back to fishing. And when he went back to fishing, Jesus didn't call him Peter, because Jesus didn't call him to be a fisherman. Jesus called him to be a fisher of men, an apostle. And so it won't be until after Jesus deals with Peter and his fishing that he'll be called Peter again. So what does this teach us? Well, Jesus came to give all of us something better in our life. What we have in our life before Jesus and what we have after are very, very different. And Jesus comes to give us a better life. Because when he comes into our life, he does some dramatic things. Well, let's look here again. In Isaiah 61, the way that he puts it is so much better than any way I could ever put it. He heals, or he binds the brokenhearted, he proclaims liberty to the captives, and opens the prison of those that are bound. And we live our lives with these hindrances. Last week we looked at those hindrances and we identified them as these things. Bricks, right? And last week when some of you got here and you were handed your brick, you were like, why do I have to carry around a brick? And that was so good, because you don't want to carry around a brick. And then before we went to communion last week, we took our bricks and we wrote on them either our weight or our burden or our sin. And we laid it down. We gave it to the Lord. That's what he wants for each one of us to do. And when we have these burdens, when we have these bricks, we've got to lay them down. So right now in your life, what's broken? What is broken in your life right now? Where in your life have you not succeeded? Where you thought you would be a success? Where are you weak right now, where you wish that you were strong? What sorrows do you carry? What's the failure that you just can't seem to shake? What's the one struggle that's just, it seems like it's just, it's constant in your life? This morning, I want to encourage you, not only does Jesus want you to set it down, Jesus is going to make a trade with you. And so we go to the Lord and we say, all right, Lord, I lay it before you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care on him because he cares for you. And so we lay it down, we say, all right, God, I give it to you. I'm not going to hold on to this. So God does two amazing things. And I'm almost to the end of my message, if you can believe it or not. All right, two amazing things that God does. All right, the first thing he does is he takes our power of sin and he says, I'm going to do something to it. So, got to set this up so I don't want to break anything. So Jesus, he takes, and he says, all right, give me your burdens. Give me the hardships from your life. Give me the things that are broken. He says, all right, here's what I'm going to do to your sin. Safety first, right? Jesus does not need goggles. Jesus says, you know what? That sin that holds you back, I don't want it to be your problem anymore. So he takes it, he busts it. He breaks the power of sin. And you know, if you haven't had the power of sin broken in your life, you're carrying around these weights, and Jesus, he doesn't want that. He wants to bust that power of sin. He wants you to live free from those burdens. He wants you to live free from the guilt. OSHA would be happy. I'm OSHA approved this morning. See, in Romans chapter 6, here's what it says. When it comes to your sin, Jesus breaks the power of sin. In Romans 6, 9. My tablet just went berserk, so I'm going to turn here. Romans 6, 9, here's what it says. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon, that's how you know the Bible is written by a southerner, reckon you are also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lusts thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law, but under grace. And this morning, God wants you to know that that power of sin, he doesn't just have you lay it down so that you can come pick it up again. He says, I destroy the powers of sin. And that's so great for us because it lets us know that we don't do this on our own. See, if you're trying to take care of your sin problem on your own, you're going to be a very frustrated individual. You're going to walk around and you're going to be really, really frustrated because you cannot deal with your sin. Jesus deals with it. He makes the great exchange. Now, when he makes the great exchange, he's waiting for us to accept his work. You say, well, I got saved, so I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's not what the Bible teaches. You know what the Bible teaches? The Apostle Paul said this. He said, I die daily. Every single day, we have to take the weights and the sins, the burdens, and lay them down before the Lord and say, Lord, I am not going to carry these. Now, let's just think for a second. For those who wrote something on a brick up there, how many of you picked that brick back up this week? You don't have to raise your hands. How many of us wrote something on the brick and we thought, all right, this is my victory, and we laid it down, and then during the week, we failed? It wasn't because Christ wasn't strong enough to help you with it. It's that maybe when you laid it down, you thought, okay, this is it. It's no longer a problem for me. No, here's what happens. Every day, we got to lay those bricks down. Because you know what Christ will do for you every day? He'll pull out the sledgehammer. And I'm so glad that Christ's sledgehammer, it works. And every day when I go to prayer, here's what he does. As I go to prayer before my Lord and I say, Lord, I like to win. I like to be the one who wins. I do not like to lose. And God says, all right, give that to me. And every day he takes and he busts that up. And you say, every day you have to go back? Yes. Every single day. And you know the days when I don't go back to God and say, God, help me with this? You know what happens that day? I find myself carrying the stupid brick around again. So here's what God does. He says, I'm making an exchange. Let's talk about this exchange. The burdens that we carry around, he makes this great exchange. In Matthew 11, 28, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what we're doing? We're sitting here and we're going, ugh, ugh, and we're trying to bust up our sin. And here's the problem. We can't do it. We don't have the ability to. When we go to Christ, he says, give it to me. I can handle it. And bam, he handles it. But when we try to handle it, it remains the struggle. And so here's how the exchange takes place. Isaiah 61. All right, let's go there again. Number one, this is in your bulletin. This is the outline that's in there. He wants to bind up the brokenhearted. Here's the thing about God. He doesn't remove the hurt. He binds it by comforting. Think about it this way. Your kid falls, scratches their elbow or their knee. Okay? What do you usually do? You go get a Band-Aid, right? Now, 90% of the time, do they need the Band-Aid? No. They just need something to bind it up so they feel better. Okay? My kid, they wouldn't even be bleeding. It'd be a bruise. I need a Band-Aid. You put that Band-Aid on, all of a sudden, oh, it feels better. What? Well, you know what? In our lives, it happens all the time where we are brokenhearted. Life is cruel. Life is cold. And life hurts. And here's what Jesus says. He says, come to me, lay your burden down, and I will bind up the brokenhearted. Not that he's going to remove the hurt, but he's going to come and provide a help. Secondly, proclaim liberty to the captives. Those that are captive to sin are promised liberty. See, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is impossible for you to put your burden down. It is impossible for you to lay that brick down. It's part of who you are. But when you trust Christ, here's what he does. He takes his death that he died on the cross, and he applies his sacrifice, shedding of his blood to your life. And what happens is that burden that is attached to us, it is now separated from us. We don't have to serve that anymore. And so if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you can't put that burden down. When you trust Christ, he separates that sin from you. Now, every day of your life, you have to decide, am I going to serve my burden or am I going to serve Jesus? Am I going to carry my block or am I going to serve Jesus Christ? And here's what Jesus does. He says, I will proclaim liberty to the captives. He tells you how to have liberty, but what you have to do is you have to listen. And you have to say, yes, Lord, I will follow. Thirdly, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Those that are captive to addiction are promised freedom. Complete freedom might not come until the morning light rises of heaven. But Christ promises you freedom. See, if you have an addiction in your life, that's a burden that, man, it's you get saved and it's not attached to you, but boy, it likes to be super glued to your hand. Here's how Christ handles addiction. He doesn't say, I take away the desire for it. He doesn't do that. Christ says, I give you a way of escape. And that way of escape is available every time you go to him in prayer, every time you submit to him. And so when that addiction starts to raise its ugly head and starts to haunt itself over you, when you go to the Lord in prayer, he says, I give you the ability to say no to it. But see, it's all about saying no to the sin and saying yes to God. In the book of James, it says that we have to resist the devil and he'll flee. And how, what's the best way to resist the devil? Well, Jesus, here's how he did it. He quoted Scripture over and over and over. And as he quoted the Scripture, he had victory over the temptation. And so here's what Christ does. Christ opens the prison of those that are bound. Just because the prison's open, what do you have to do? You have to walk out, right? And some of us live really close to the gate of that prison. And for some reason, we wander back. And Christ keeps that prison door open. And you are responsible to stay out. Fourthly, he gives beauty for ashes. I love this. You know, someday we're all going to stand before Jesus Christ. Everybody who's trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, we're going to stand before him at what's called the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to take every good thing that we've done, he's going to pass it through fire. And every good thing that we do that passes through fire, it remains. It stays. Then he's going to take every bad thing that we've done, he's going to pass it through fire. And every bad thing that we've done is going to burn up, and all that will be left of it are ashes. Here's what Jesus does. He exchanges beauty for ashes. The Bible tells us that all of our righteousness, all the good things we do on our own, it's like filthy rags. And so Jesus takes what we are not capable of and producing something that's beautiful to him. And he says, I'll take your ashes and I'll create in you beauty. And every single one of us today, we can all be encouraged with this thought that Jesus Christ is not going to leave us to ashes. He's going to help us in producing beauty. Number five, the oil of joy for mourning. I mean, like we said earlier, there's a lot of mourning. I mean, just 2016, to think about all the people we lost here at 12th Street that have died. The mourning. And what does the Lord do? He gives us the oil of joy. He gives us a soothing balm. But there's an exchange that takes place. I wish he would say, I just take away the mourning. I take away the sadness. Wouldn't that be good? But he never does that. He makes an exchange. When does that exchange happen? When I look for the exchange. When I put the burden down. When I put the burden down, he says, yes, I'll give you the oil of joy. Number six, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He doesn't remove the heaviness. But what he does is he gives us a change of attitude to help in the heaviness. So he gives us this garment of praise. Now, it's not literally, you know, a garment called praise, right? He gives us this wonderful thing in our lives where we go through a hardship, right? Job in the Bible, he had this right. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And now today we have songs that quote that because it's such a powerful thought. That's the garment of praise. David, as he's being chased by King Saul, and King David, his life is in jeopardy because Saul wants to kill him. And David, he'll be sitting there, and he'll be all by himself, and he'll just start penning a song to the Lord, and he'll start complaining, Lord, why can you let this happen to me? I love you. I serve you. And then all of a sudden he'll say, my hope is in the Lord. And then he'll go from hope to my joy is in the Lord. Because here's what God does. In our heaviness, he gives us, it's a choice we make, he says, I'll allow you to have this garment of praise. You can put it on and you can praise me, or you can wear the heaviness. But he gives us the opportunity to have that exchange take place. Number seven, he gives strength to build the old wastes. Now, the waste place in Israel was literally the temple. Not one stone was left on another in the temple. When Isaiah wrote, the temple had not been destroyed, but it was about to be destroyed. It was destroyed. Then before Jesus came, a man named Herod rebuilt the temple. And then in AD 70, right after the last book in the Bible, Revelation, was written, the temple was completely destroyed again. Here's what, it's a direct reference to the waste place, that temple being torn down. But there are waste places in our life that we need rebuilt. Have you ever made a great decision for the Lord? You know, I'm going to read my Bible every day. And 2 days later, it's like, oh man, I blew that one. Or a week later. Or I'm going to pray and talk to God every day. Woohoo! And then, oh man, I didn't pray yesterday. Okay? What is wrong with me? Well, we have waste places. We neglect some things. And here's what the Lord does. He says, I want to give you the opportunity to go in and rebuild your waste places. So you've made a commitment and you failed on the commitment. All right. I'm going to give you a chance to go back and rebuild that commitment. Not that I'll ever get the time back where I failed in that commitment, but the time I have moving forward, I can rebuild in there. That's an awesome exchange that the Lord gives to us. Number eight, he'll help us to repair the waste cities. He doesn't make you rebuild yourself. He helps. Okay? Now, we have all these bricks left over here. And it would be really depressing to leave these all up here with our burdens and our sins written on them, right? Because then we could come up here and like read through and, oh, man, and be reminded of our failures over and over. But see, the Lord, he doesn't do that. He destroys our sin, but he also takes our burdens and he takes our sins, and he makes a great exchange, okay? Here's what we're going to do with these bricks. These bricks are going to turn into a prayer bench. That's going to be, we have a little courtyard area that's right out behind the sound booth there. In that little courtyard area, we're going to build some benches out of these bricks. And so you can go there, and what was destructive in your life, what was harmful in your life, can now become something positive and good. A great exchange can be made. And so you can go and you can sit on the bench and you can pray. And when you sit on the bench, you can remember, you know, at one time, the contents of this bench were the sign of my failure. And today, I have risen above it. I'm sitting on it. I'm resting on it as I talk to my Lord. Because we need to have some physical illustration in our life of the great exchange that takes place. Now, all of you, hopefully, when you came in, you got your bookmark, all right? Does everybody have their bookmark? This bookmark, I'm going to encourage you, take it right now and put it in the book of Galatians. Starting next Sunday, with our small groups, we're going to be going through Galatians, but next Sunday I'm going to start preaching through the book of Galatians. Put this in Galatians, all right? And it's a real simple slogan, right? Just live it, right? Just live it. Every time you feel like you're being burdened down by the weights and the sins that are holding you back, here's what you just need to be reminded of. Just live it. Live my faith. And so put it in your Bible in the book of Galatians. And every time you open your Bible, I hope it'll open and help you get there. And maybe you'll read through ahead of time and you'll be like, wow, there's some good stuff here. And God will even start to speak to you way before I ever preach it. And God will start to speak to you way before we ever study it in a Bible study together. Because I believe that God wants us just to live this Christian life. And so we put something down last week. I want you to go home with something this week. Go home with the thought that there's a great exchange that has taken place in my life. That I can live the Christian life. You can do it through the power of Jesus Christ. You can live the life that Christ wants from you. So, I'm not going to close with a slow, sad song. We're going to close this morning in a song of victory. We're going to close this morning with a song that reminds us of the great exchange that takes place. And I'm going to be standing here at the front because if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to be there to say, hey, if you want to talk about it, come talk to me. It'd be the greatest thing that you could ever do. If you have been coming to the church here and you know about what's going on here and you've wanted to join and you haven't, I'm going to invite you, man, come and join the church. And say, yes, I'll get into the harness with this church. I want to be part of what Christ is doing here. And, you know, if you're here and you say, I laid my burden down last week, I picked it up this week, I want to live that differently, then you can either come up here and pray, you can pray right where you're seated, or you can just take your bookmark and go, yep, I got the reminder, I'm just going to live it. But as we have this last song sung, I want to encourage you, let your commitment to Christ start today and be renewed every single day after. Let's all stand together for this closing song. And if you know the words, some of the words are pretty easy. You can join in whenever you'd like.
You might have to clap. Yes, Lord, amen.
no better way to start a new year than to say, yes, Lord, right? This morning, we have Dave and Carol Sager and Roger and Callista and Ari who have come to join the church. We met, we talked about things. They've trusted Christ as their Savior. They've been baptized by immersion. They agree with the doctrine of the church, and they want to be part of our church. And so if I can have a motion to accept them, first or second, all in favor say amen.
Amen.
All right. If you could go to the back, and we're going to extend the right hand of fellowship to you. All right? So. And this morning, Chris Landis wanted to make a quick statement.
I accidentally sent a sticker to a lot of you, including the 12th Street Nursery Facebook Messenger, just so I can clear the air with everybody. I received that from my late brother's childhood girlfriend, who sent it to me, and I didn't see the picture. All I saw was the caption at the top that said, Merry Christmas. And so I sent it and forwarded it to everybody, you know, on my friends list. And then I did not realize it until my phone started blowing up while I was in Florida. And I looked on the page and I saw what it was. I would have never sent that to anybody if I'd have known what it was. Most of you who know me know that I wouldn't do that intentionally. But when I was told that some of the parents were questioning me working with their kids, you know, and that brought my integrity and my reputation into question, I felt it necessary to stand up here in front of the church and apologize and ask for forgiveness for that and explain what happened. That way you guys, those who don't know me, know that I wouldn't have sent it intentionally. So that's, you know, why I'm up here, just apologizing and letting everybody know that it wasn't intentional and that I'm asking for forgiveness so that way, you know, I'm still working with kids because that is my joy. That is my calling I feel from the Lord is to work with kids because after all, they are our next generation who are going to lead us. So, yeah, that's all I have to say.
All right, and when someone says they're sorry, we say, you're forgiven. And, you're forgiven, Chris.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, love you, man. All right. Let's go to the Lord together and close in prayer. Father, you are so great, even when we're not. And Lord, I thank you that every time we say we're sorry to you, you forgive. You not only forgive, but you remove our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. And so, Lord, I thank you that you tell us that we can forgive, we can be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. And so, Lord, I thank you that we can offer forgiveness this morning. But, Lord, also, I just thank you that as we go from here, that we know that we have a God who's willing and ready because Jesus came to this earth. There is great exchange that we can experience. So, Lord, help us. Help us every day to remember to speak to you, to talk to you, to surrender to you, to submit to you. And, Lord, we look forward to seeing the great exchanges that you will make. Thank you for being our great God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a wonderful week. And if you can, stay around and help us tear down some Christmas decorations.